When Jesus went to the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, when Paul was writing about Jesus coming to the earth, he talks about how that he removed himself from the equation. He did not do what he wanted, he did what his Father wanted. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, Christ, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Look at that. He emptied himself. Some in the past have thought that that meant that he got rid of his deity. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that he removed himself. Self did not get in the way. When he was in heaven, he didn't allow himself to say, "I just want to stay here in heaven. I don't want to go to earth." He emptied himself. He took self out of the equation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself, verse 8, and became obedient to the cross. This morning, we want to talk about removing ourself. One of the hardest things to do in serving God, but really, it is the key to our spiritual success in our relationship with God. One of the most fundamental things with regard to our relationship with God is to remove what we want, ourself. We need to learn to give up, to give in, and then to completely give over to the Lord. What do these three individuals have in common? The non-Christian, this is the person who won't obey the gospel. For whatever reason, they're living their life, they're enjoying life, but they won't obey the gospel, they won't become a Christian. And then number two, the unfaithful Christian. Here's the one who has obeyed the gospel, but after a while they stop reading their Bible and they stop coming to services and they're unfaithful in many kinds of ways. And then number three, the person who has obeyed the gospel, the Christian, and they continue to come to services. And they get their Bible class lesson, and they're present at every service, but they're unhappy. What do those three individuals have in common? The one who will not obey the gospel, the one who has in the past but has now become unfaithful and has quit the Lord, or the person who continues to come but really they're unhappy inside. What do they have in common? I would suggest to you this morning that what they have in common is they're all putting self first. And that's what's causing the problem. The non-Christian who won't obey the gospel, he does what he wants. He gets up each day, he does what he wants, he doesn't want to obey the gospel. He doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. He wants to do what he wants to do. And the unfaithful Christian, for a while he did what God wanted him to do, but he got tired of that. And I want to go back to doing what I want to do, and so I become unfaithful. And then the Christian who is at every service, they have their Bible class lesson filled out, they take the Lord's Supper and all of that, but really they're unhappy. Self is being put first. They want to be number one. They want to put self first. That's why they won't obey the gospel. That's why the Christian has become unfaithful. That's why he's unhappy. Self is in the way. And that's one of the hardest things to remove. This morning, we want to talk about giving up and giving in and giving over to the Lord. One of the hardest things to do. If you go back to the beginning of time, this idea of denying ourselves and doing what God wants, that was the very first thing that the devil appealed to. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, when the devil comes to Adam and Eve, and Eve tells the devil, "We're not supposed to eat of this fruit." And verse 5, the devil said, "God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." This is something you can have. Why not have something that you want? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, this can benefit me. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. This is what the devil said. You can have something. Don't do what God wants. Do what you want. What will benefit you? And so he appealed to herself. And what would benefit her and what would make her feel good. And so she went ahead and did that. Notice how the devil, that's one of the very first tactics of the devil. Don't do what God wants. Do what you yourself want. What is going to benefit you? And it worked. And it often does. Because that is a strong factor, isn't it? What we want. What we desire in any given occasion. Denying, that is removing ourself, renouncing self, is one of the most fundamental things with regard to our relationship with God. And Jesus appeals to this more than once in his teaching. Let's look at a few passages. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. He set the right example when he came to the earth. He didn't do what he himself wanted. He humbled himself and became obedient. He said in the garden, not what I will, but what God wills. And he led the right example in that, but he wants us to do the same. Matthew 16, verse 24. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. We have to get ourself out of the way to come follow Jesus. If ourself is in the way, then we're not going to come and do what Jesus wants. He says the same thing in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 and Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And if you look at the passage in Luke chapter 9, he says that that is going to have to be on a daily basis. For whosoever would come after me, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily self-denial. It's not just once a week or every few months. But daily, we have to deny ourselves. We get up each day, we can either do what we want or what God wants. And in the scripture reading, look at Luke chapter 14. There are times when Jesus talks about how that we need to love him more than father or mother, verse 26. But did you notice in the scripture reading of Luke 14, verse 26, that we have to love Jesus more, yea, and his own self? We can't put mother or father before the Lord, but we can't even put our own self before the Lord. And that's one of the hardest things to do. And so in verse 33, whosoever he be of you that would not renounce not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. When Jesus came to save a people, look at Titus chapter 2. He came to save us. But it's going to involve us denying some things, refusing some things. God's grace instructs us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and so forth. We're going to have to deny some things. How we think about things, how we feel about things. It's fundamental. Deny yourself. That's the very thing that the devil got Eve to think about. Do this because it'll benefit you. What does your own self want? It's the very thing that we have to remove or renounce. Self is the cause of sin. Self is what gets in the way and keeps us either from becoming a Christian, or we become unfaithful, or we're unhappy. Because we're not completely following what God wants. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 when Paul describes these grievous times, these terrible times that are going to come. There are all kinds of terrible things here. People are, look at verse 2, lovers of self. When we love ourself, we're going to do what we want, believe what we want, act the way we want. And what does it cause? Verse 3, without self-control. So we do what we want, and then we are out of control. And it's a part of this grievous time. And then verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Self is in the way. Pleasure is in the way. Lovers of money, verse 2. All these things that benefit me, that's first. God is second, or He may not even be around at all. What is one of the qualifications of an elder? We talk about qualifications of elders, and sometimes I think we think that those are just special to them. There are some things that are for them that do not apply to everyone, some family relationships. But there are the majority of the qualifications we have to have in our own life as well. But look at Titus 1 and verse 8. They're to be self-controlled. But look at verse 7. Not self-willed. Self-willed. That's one of the hardest things to have in our life. We're not to put ourself first. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10 with regard to these false teachers. One of their problems was that they are daring. That doesn't mean, like, remember when you were a kid, Evel Knievel would take his motorcycle and jump over semi-trucks. And he was daring. That's not what we're talking about here. This is the word that means you shake your fist at authority and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then look at the very next statement. Self-willed. Self-willed. It's one of their problems. And so we're not going to do what God wants. We're going to do what we want. And we're going to dare anyone to tell us otherwise. This is the very thing that the devil wants. But Jesus says we have to remove ourselves out of the equation. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Right before Paul talks about Jesus leaving heaven, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, some of the versions use this translation, selfish ambition, which is very good. The older versions talk about do nothing through faction or through vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. You got to get yourself out of the way. But in verse 3, do nothing through, and then some versions have selfish ambition. And that's a good translation of aretheia, the Greek word that means to do what you want. And then two verses later, he says Jesus didn't do what he wanted. He did what God wanted him to do. He emptied himself and came out of heaven and came to the earth. So verse 3 ties in with what Jesus did in verses 5, 6, and 7. He said, don't have selfish ambition. And I'm about to give you an illustration of that in Jesus, who didn't have selfish ambition. He left heaven and came to earth. That's why I look at verse 5. Have this mind or this attitude in you. What mind? Not having selfish ambition. So Jesus sets the example for us. He didn't do what his own self wanted. He did what his Father wanted him to do. And we're, as Christians, we're to be like that. And that's hard to do. And so our lesson this morning is to encourage us to give up, give in, and just completely give over to what the Lord wants. We need to learn, first of all, this morning, to give up. Some people will not give up to God. They resist that. They fight that. And I think about when there's a battle and there's a war going on and there's one side that's clearly being defeated. They're outnumbered. They're outgunned. There's just no way. And yet they will just fight to the death. They won't give up. They won't surrender. I think about that. You know, some people are like that with regard to God. They're just going to just fight it all the way to the end. Paul had to learn to stop doing that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and verse 14. Paul had to learn, it's just time for me to give up. He had been resisting Christ. He had been fighting Christians. He'd been taking Christians and putting them in prison. He would cast his vote so that they could die. He's fighting against Christ. And he had to learn, I've got to just give up. In Acts chapter 26, when the Lord meets him on the road to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad." The goad was what a farmer used with a cow or some other animal to push them along. And when the animal stopped and just resisted, they would poke him in the behind and get him moving. And Paul was like just kicking against it. I'm not gonna do what God wants me to do. And Jesus said, "You need to stop that." And he did. And he gave up and obeyed the Lord. Some people won't do that, but we need to be like Paul. We need to give up and stop kicking against the goad. And there are people that they're mad at God, they're mad at the Bible, they're mad at the world and whatever, and I'm not going to do what I don't want to do. And the first thing we need to do is learn to give up. We need to give up. And we need to do what God wants us to do. And it's hard sometimes. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30. "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Jehovah." You cannot have some thinking in your mind where you can win and beat God. There is nothing that you can think or say or do or understand that is against the Lord in such a way that you will defeat Him. It's not going to happen. So we might as well just give up. And that was Gamaliel's advice. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. There were those Jews in right after the day of Pentecost that tried to stop the church. Were they able to stop the church? No, it exists 2,000 years later. Here are these Jews trying to put Peter and John in prison, and we're going to stop this thing. We're going to stop them from working miracles, and we're going to stop the gospel from being preached, and we're just going to stop this whole thing. Did it happen? No. That just fanned the flames, and it grew farther. It grew more. And Gamaliel said, look at his advice, and he's right. And we would do well to heed it as well. Acts 5:38, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Quit trying to stop them. Put them in prison. Keep them from working miracles and all that kind of thing. Refrain from these men and leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them." Period. It's not going to happen. And it didn't. The church grew all throughout the book of Acts, and it continues to grow until this day. "Lest haply you be found even to be fighting against God." And that's one battle that you will lose, and I will lose. We just need to give up and obey the Lord. Let's turn in our psalm books. I want us to combine singing this morning with our lesson. Turn in your psalm books to number 332. I think about the song, "I Surrender All," and the good sentiment that it has there and how that goes along with our point. We need ourselves, and we need to try to help those around us whom we love to have this sentiment, "I surrender all." Because right now the problem is self is in the way. And when you think about this sentiment, think about what we've just studied. I surrender. Paul had to do that. He just had to raise the white flag and say, "I surrender." And he obeyed the Lord. And we need to do the same. Let's sing all three verses of number 332. "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust. trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I think the key there is the word all. We surrender a lot throughout the day. We surrender maybe most, but do we surrender all? And this song is not just about someone who needs to become a Christian. It's also about us who are Christians. We have to continue surrendering all. Otherwise, we become unfaithful or we become unhappy. And so giving over and doing what God wants. The first thing we need to do is give up. The second thing we need to do is give in. And you might say, well, is there a difference? And there is. Some people, I believe, will give up to God, but will not give in to Him. I think about maybe a young person, or you'll see this when maybe the law enforcement goes out to arrest somebody. They'll give up, but they go kicking and screaming, you know. Yeah, I'll go, but, you know, and you can tell they're fighting it and pushing back and that kind of thing. It's one thing to give up. It's another thing, it's even a step closer in our maturity and our selflessness to give in. I think about our POWs. You know, there were times when our POWs would surrender, but did they completely give in to the other side? No. And they were taught not to. We don't give in to the other side. We go, we give up, we go quietly, but we don't completely give in. And so that's the next step that is important. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1. Jonah, he was told to go preach to Nineveh. And if you look on a map, that is God telling him to go to the east. He literally went to the west. He literally went in the opposite direction when he got in a boat to go to Tarshish, which was, we think, is modern-day Spain. And then he's going to get down in a boat. God can't find me there, right? As if we can hide from God. And then God puts him in the belly of a whale. And finally, in chapter 3 and verse 1, he gives in and he goes. We don't just simply want to give up. Okay, I'll do what God wants, but I won't like it. We're going to completely give up and give in and let Him have His way. Sometimes God tells us to do things and we want to
argue with God, or we don't like that in some way, and we have to learn just to simply let God have His way. Look at with me at Acts chapter 10 and Peter. We're going to look at chapter 11 and verse 17 in a minute, but look at chapter 10 when God was telling Peter that you need to preach to Jews and to Gentiles. God gives him a message of these creeping beasts and things. And there came a voice from heaven, chapter 10, verse 13, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Now here is Peter saying to God, "No." Now, children do that all the time with their parents. Sometimes they get by with it, sometimes they don't. Adults do that with law enforcement and other things. Kids at school do that with teachers and principals and things. Sometimes they get by with it, sometimes they don't. But this is Peter saying no to God. And we know that he recognized it was God. "For I have never eaten anything uncommon or clean." And a voice came unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." And this was done three times, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. And Peter had to learn, look at verse 34, "I perceive." He had to conclude, he had to perceive through this vision, this dream, that he was to go to Cornelius. And notice what he says later when he's recounting this matter in chapter 11, verse 17. "If then God gave unto them," Cornelius and his household, "the like gift, as he did also unto us," the tongue speaking, "when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" That is a question that we all need to ask ourselves each day. Who am I that I can just say no to God? And yet that's what people do all the time. When they say no to the gospel, when they say no to other things, and after we become a Christian and we say no, we're saying no to God? Do we really want to do that? We need to give up and we need to give in. And so look at what Peter's attitude is. Look at that question. Who was I that I could withstand God? Me, measly old Peter, who am I to say no to God? And that's the way we need to view our life every day. Who am I, Chris, David, Eric? Who am I that I'm going to withstand God? I'm nothing. And Peter had to realize that. And he had to come to that conclusion, and he gave in. And he went and preached to Cornelius. So it's one thing to give up, that's right. But it's another thing to give in and stop fighting. "Not so, Lord." He had to stop saying no to God. Who was I that I could withstand God? We need to give in. And so it's one thing to give up and surrender, and it's another thing to move even closer and give in and do what God says. Turn with me in our psalm books to number 427, Sweet Will of God. 427. It's not just a matter of, well, okay, I'll go kicking and screaming. No, give in. And the very first line, "My stubborn will at last hath yielded." And that really is where we need to be in life. Our stubborn will has to give in and do what God wants. I'd like to sing all four verses first and then the chorus. We'll sing all four verses first and then the chorus. And it moves from "my stubborn will" to verse 3, "thy precious will." That's where we need to be. Removing ourselves and doing what the Lord wants. And in the chorus, "sweet will of God," not "sweet will of Chris or any of us here, but "sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee." And that's going to be our next point. We have to wholly give ourselves over. We're not going to give up, give in, and then reserve a little slice of the pie for ourselves, but completely give over to God's will. That'll make us a better person. We'll obey the gospel, we'll be faithful, we'll be happy. So let's contemplate
this and think about doing the will of God from the heart. Not what we want, but what the Lord wants. Let's sing the four verses and then the chorus. My stubborn will at last hath yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. And this the prayer my lips are bringing. Lord, let in me thy will be done. I'm tired of sin, footsore and weary. The darksome path hath dreary grown. But now a light has risen to cheer me. I find in thee my star, my sun. Thy precious will, O conquering Savior, doth now embrace and compass me. All discords hush, my peace a river, my soul a prison bird set free. Shut in with thee, O Lord, forever, my wayward feet no more to roam. What power from thee my soul can sever? The center of God's will, my home. Sweet will of God, still fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. Sweet will of God, will fold me closer till I am wholly lost in thee. The song says, till I am wholly lost in thee. And that brings us to our last point. Not only do we give up and give in, but we have to completely give ourselves over to God. I believe some people give up and they give in to God, but they don't completely give over. And so they're not really happy. They're not really faithful. They're reserving something for themselves. They're holding back for themselves, and they may cause trouble for others, for themselves, but they're really not wholly serving God. Do you know that Jesus completely gave in to his Father, going all the way to the cross? In John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, I always do the things that please my Father. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, we know about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If thou be willing, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Completely doing whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do that. I think about Paul. He completely gave over to Jesus. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Was there some part of Paul that he kept for himself? Not only did he give up and give in, but he completely gave over his life to the Lord so that he could say that it is no longer I that live, but Christ who liveth in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. Self has been completely moved out of the way. That's why Paul accomplished so much for the Lord. That's why he was so faithful. That's why he's such a good example. It is not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. That's why he could say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be imitators of me
as I also am of Christ. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? To be able to say to somebody, imitate me. That's a pretty tall order. Well, if he'd completely given his life over to Christ, then he's going to be doing nothing but what Christ wanted him to do. And so you could follow Paul. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, I don't please men. I please God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, Christ is magnified in my body. When you see me, all you see is Christ. Give up. That's the first step. Give in. You're working closer. And then finally, just completely give over, where you're not holding anything back. We need to completely give over to God. We need to completely serve Him and do what He has for us. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 12. I think about Joshua and Caleb, because they have wholly followed the Lord. We're not going to keep some part for ourselves, some little slice for me, but we're wholly going to serve the Lord. We're going to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, as Jesus will say. Look at Paul's advice to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. He was to give himself wholly to the service of the Lord. Be diligent in these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy progress may be manifest. The only way we can progress in life is if we completely give ourselves over to that cause. If we hold something back, then there's going to be a problem. Paul's statement, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That lets me know that every ounce of his being was turned over to Christ. Turn with me to number 431 in our psalm books, and then we'll bring our lesson to a close. This song, we're familiar with it. It starts off with us saying, all of self, I'm going to put myself first. And by the end of the song, it's none of self. God is going to have his way. And that is a transition that we go through in life. That is a progress that we go through in life. That is a road that we travel. When we first get on it, it's all of self. What do I want? But hopefully by the end of the road and before the Lord comes again, it's none of self and all of thee. Where are we at in that process? And when you sing the song, it starts off all of self. The next verse is some of self. The third verse is, well, less of self, but that's still not good enough with God. It needs to be none of self. And that's the hard part. Why is it that some people won't obey the gospel? All of self. Why is it that some Christians become unfaithful? It's all of self. Why is it that there may be some still coming, but they're unhappy? Bitter, resentful, self. So we have to give in to the Lord and do His will, and we can be faithful and happy and obedient. Let's sing 431. Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him, bleeding on the accursed tree. Brought me low, as my heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee, some of self and some of thee. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee. Brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee.
If we'll give up and give in and completely give over, then we will immediately become a Christian. There's no resisting the gospel. We will be faithful in our service to the Lord. We'll be here. We'll be present. We'll be active in the local congregation. And we'll be happy. Give up, give in, and give over. And self is one of the most hardest things, I believe, in life to conquer. But we must do that so that we can be pleasing to the Lord. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin, give up, give in, give over by obeying the gospel or by coming back and being more faithful, being more active in your service in the local church, being more happy. If we will completely give ourselves over, don't let the devil come to us and say, you, it's about you. It's about what is going to benefit yourself. But let Jesus be our example, who emptied himself and just simply did what God wanted. If we can assist you in coming and removing self and putting the Lord first, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?